Blog Talk Radio.
Well, praise the Lord, everybody, and welcome again to Anointed and Appointed Word Ministry with Brother Norman Woodard. I am Brother Norman, and I will be sharing an anointed and appointed word that will change, challenge, and charge your character to make an impact in this world for the kingdom of God and our Father in heaven. I'd like to send special thanks to Bishop Stephen and Ann Butterfield, who allows me to come before you every Saturday morning and break bread with you. Amen. They have a program which comes on every Saturday evening at 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. And the name of their program is Turn on the Light Broadcast. Turn on the Light Broadcast with Bishop Stephen and Ann Butterfield, which comes on every Saturday evening at 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. They're also the assistant pastors at Light of the World Christian Tabernacle International in Stockbridge, Georgia, where the leaders are Archbishop Luke W. Smith, who is also the co-founder, and the senior pastor is Pastor Oshabal Hartman. They have services every Sunday morning beginning at 9 a.m. with Sunday school, and 10 a.m. begins their worship service. They have Bible studies every Wednesday, actually every Wednesday at noon Eastern Standard Time. You can call them to this number, 917-388-4161, and listen to the Bible study live. They also have Bible studies at their location every Wednesday evening at 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. That's Light of the World Christian Tabernacle International in Stockbridge, Georgia. You can catch them on Facebook, YouTube, and their website is comingtothelight.org. It's comingtothelight.org. Well, thank you once again for calling in. Before we get into the word, we're going to hear a song. Amen.
Sometimes there are obstacles in the road that can leave you feeling low, and you don't know how to move forward. And sometimes there are turns you want to take, but the way gets hard to trace. Now you're wondering, how did you get here? But don't you give up until you see how God is ordering your steps, so you can walk into your seat. He that has begun a great work in you is faithful to perform. God is faithful to perform. He that has begun a great work in you is faithful to perform it. Our God is faithful. I declare you will know the favor of the Lord and receive a harvest for your seed. To bless the world that flows.
He that has begun
a great
work, in you
is faithful to perform.
God is faithful to perform.
Oh, he that has begun a great work in you is faithful to perform it. God is faithful to perform it. Yourself and say, God is doing a great work. He's doing a great work. He's doing a great work in me. God is doing a great work. He's doing a great work. He's doing a great work in me. God is doing a great work. faithful to perform. You ought to encourage somebody. Show your name. He's faithful to perform.
Faithful to perform.
God is faithful to perform. Yesterday, today, and forevermore. God is faithful.
Faithful
and great. Great is his faithfulness. Great is his faithfulness. So what should be considered as we proceed is that this work did not begin with you. Our mother's mother and father's father planted seeds when we were but the faint notion of a dream in their mind. They hoped for a harvest, a legacy, a great work. So may your next step forward help us to connect the dots and see this picture. Greatness exceeding abundantly more than we can imagine. But let me assure you that it's great, and our God is faithful. Yes, Lord. Yes, you're great. Yes, Lord.
Hallelujah. Yes, Lord. When you think about how good he is, how faithful he is, how amazing he is, how awesome he is. Think about everything that he's done for you. I don't know about you, but it causes me to say, yes, Lord. Hallelujah. Yes, Lord. You're faithful. Yes, Lord. You're amazing. Yes, Lord. You're awesome. Yes, Lord. I love you, God. Hallelujah. Yes, Lord. Hallelujah. I dare you. I challenge you. I encourage you to say that. Yes, Lord. Hallelujah. Brought me from a mighty long way. Yes, Lord. Don't do the things that I used to do. Yes, Lord. Don't say the things that I used to say. Yes, Lord. Don't go to the places that I used to go to. Yes, Lord. Don't even think about the things that I used to think about. Yes, Lord. Hallelujah. Glory to God. He's faithful. He is faithful. You can count on God. You can trust him. You can rely on him. You can expect him to do what he said that he would do every single time. Yes, Lord. Hallelujah. Well, thank you once again for calling in. And the reason why I say yes, Lord, even for this morning, to have technical difficulties, technical issues, he still came through. I was about to reach out to people and tell them that I was having technical difficulties. Our internet wasn't connected. That'll preach all by itself. Our internet wasn't connected. So God gave my wife wisdom. She did a couple of things. God is so amazing. He never fails. He always comes through. As they say, may not be there when you want, but he's always right on time. Hallelujah. Even though God is not affected by time, but he's always on time. Glory to God. Actually, I mentioned my wife. Stephanie and I are getting ready to celebrate our 11th year anniversary. Glory to God. March 18th. So excited. Hallelujah. Says, he that findeth a wife findeth a good thing and obtaineth favor of the Lord. See, a lot of men just stop at good thing. And she is a good thing. But what comes with it, see, a lot of people neglect the benefit package that comes with it. The benefit package that comes with a good wife is obtaining favor with the Lord. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Got stirred up right there. Love you, beautiful. Looking forward to celebrate. Hallelujah. Well, let's go ahead and get into the word. Amen. Coming out of the book of James, James, the fourth chapter. James, the fourth chapter. I share with y'all before that Stephanie and I are actually high school sweethearts. And so to be married to someone else, and then that marriage didn't work out, but then for God to bring us back together, hallelujah. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. That should be the words for today. Yes, Lord. Thinking about just how good he is, how amazing, how awesome. Yes, Lord. Now we're going to get into the word. James, fourth chapter, reading verse 4. James, the fourth chapter, read in verse 4. And it reads, ye adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not that the friendship of the world is enmity with God? Whosoever therefore would be a friend of the world is the enemy of God. Let me read it again. It says, ye adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not that the friendship of the world is enmity with God? Whosoever therefore would be a friend of the world is the enemy of God. The title of the message this morning is The Enemy of God. Enemy of God. Let us pray. Father, we thank you once again for watching over us as we lay down to rest before you, Father. Thank you for charging your angels to be encamped around about us, protecting us, keeping us in your care, God, fighting off all the fiery darts of the enemy, protecting us from all harm and danger, Father. And Father, thank you for waking us up this morning to see another glorious day that you have made. Hallelujah. Giving us another chance to represent you, God, to honor you, to praise you, to thank you, to worship you. Thank you, Father, for your word that saves, your word that heals, your word that delivers, your word that sets free all those who are bound and captive in what we call sin. Thank you for your son, Jesus, Father, who you sent to be the propitiation for our sins, stand in the gap for us, Father, to live a sinless life and to take the sins of the world to the cross, to be sacrificed, to be crucified, Father. And thank you, Father, for even allowing Jesus to go to hell for us. But he went on a mission, God, to take the keys of hell from Satan. But thank you, Father, for not leaving him there, God. But on the third day, you rose him from the grave. All power in his hands. Thank you, Father, for receiving Jesus into heaven with his sinless, precious, conquering blood. Giving us the victory, Father. Giving us access to you, Father. Hallelujah. Thank you for Holy Spirit, for sending him to be our guide, our teacher, our comforter. And thank you for you, Almighty God, the creator of all things, who art in heaven. Thank you, Father, for considering us, for creating us, for calling us your own, God. And now, Father, as we receive your word, help us to apply it to our lives, to make it personal, Father. That as we live our lives, someone will say, what must I do to be saved? We thank you and we praise you in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. The enemy of God. Hallelujah. I just want to say this again. Yes, Lord. Hallelujah. Yes, Lord. Glory to God. The enemy of God. Let's look at this scripture. James, the fourth chapter, verse 4. We're going to look at it in the Amplified Bible. James 4th chapter, 4th verse in the Amplified Bible. And it reads, "You are like unfaithful wives having illicit love affairs with the world and breaking your marriage vow to God. Do you not know that being the world's friend is being God's enemy? So whoever chooses to be a friend of the world takes his stand as an enemy of God." Imagine that. He's calling them unfaithful. He's calling them adulterers and adulteresses, because he's comparing the relationship with God like a relationship of a marriage. And it's interesting that I started off the way I did. I actually just got the message. So I had no idea what I was speaking this morning. That's another reason why I can say, "Yes, Lord. Hallelujah." Not having a message plus having technical difficulties. "Yes, Lord," says, "you are like unfaithful wives having illicit love affairs with the world and breaking your marriage vow to God." He's talking to those who are professing to be Christians, are professing to be saved, to be believers, to be born again. But he's calling them adulterers and adulteresses, unfaithful, because when we said "I do," or some say "I will," to accepting Jesus as our Lord and Savior, we entered into a vow. We entered into a covenant with God. That's how we have to see this relationship. But he says, that you have been unfaithful. Let's look at this scripture in another translation. Let's look at it. Go look at it in the Message translation. James 4th chapter, verse 4. The Message. And it reads, "You're cheating on God." That's how this starts off. It says, "You're cheating on God if all you want is your own way, flirting with the world." Listen to that, flirting with the world. "Every chance you get, you end up enemies of God and his way." Says you're cheating on God if all you want is your own way, flirting with the world every chance you get, you end up enemies of God and his way. And do you suppose God doesn't care? The proverb has it that he's a fiercely jealous lover. Listen to that. God is a fiercely jealous lover. Some of us have been in relationships where I would say the fierce, I'll put it that way, the fierceness of the person that you were in relationship with came out. Some may have been emotionally abusive. Some was physically abusive. Some was both. Imagine the fierceness. Of the jealousy of God. Because over in Exodus, when God gave them the Ten Commandments, let's go there. Let's look at that right quick. Exodus, the 20th chapter. Exodus, the 20th chapter. And we're going to start at verse 1. And it reads, "And God spake all these words, saying, I am the Lord thy God, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage." Listen to that. God had delivered them out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Now they're free. Verse 3 says, "Thou shalt have no other gods before me." Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them. For I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God." This is what he's saying. "For I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generation, them that," listen to this, "hate me." So he's saying those who have other gods before him, those who make graven images, those who bow down and serve other gods, graven images, God says, understand this. I really want you to know this. I'm a jealous God. Because He starts off by saying, he's the one who brought them out of Egypt. He's the one who delivered them out of the house of bondage. So he has a right to be jealous. Them dead gods, they didn't deliver them. Them graven images, they didn't deliver them. Jealous God, visiting the iniquity. And this is just how serious sin and the judgment of sin is. See, someone committing a sin is just not that person's sin. Listen to me. But if that sin is not dealt with, if that sin is not confessed and repented of, it passes down third and the fourth generation. That's what this just said. He says, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children, third and fourth generation of them that hate me. So he's saying, if you're doing these things, that's a sign that you hate me. And showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments. That's all God asks for us. All he asks from us is to love him and obey him. Obey him. Just as simple as that. Because Jesus said, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. Just love and obey God. Love him because he loved us first. He didn't have to create us. He didn't have to wake us up this morning. He didn't have to deliver us from the things that we've been delivered from. He didn't have to save us. He didn't have to send his son Jesus. But because he did, yes, Lord. Thank you, Father. That's a reason to say, I love you. Hallelujah. And not only do I love you, but I'm going to obey you, God. Whatever you say, do. I would do. That's the vow we're promising. When we get saved, to love and obey God. And see, the difference of this particular vow is not until death do we part. But it's unto life. everlasting. That's the difference. This vow, this covenant that we have with God is not until death do we part. It's unto life everlasting. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Yes, Lord. He says, for I am a jealous God. If people really understood that. Yes, God is loving. God is caring. God is merciful. God is gracious. But God is also jealous. Let's go to Hebrews. Hebrews, the 10th chapter. Hebrews, the 10th chapter. Verse 31. I call this the Halloween scripture. 10th chapter, 31st verse for October 31st, the 10th month and the 31st verse, 31st day. Hebrews, the 10th chapter, verse 31. It reads, it is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God, because he's a jealous God. It's a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. Because he's jealous. Let's go to verse 28. Verse 28. Actually, we're going to start at verse 26. Hebrews, the 10th chapter, verse 26. And it reads, for if we sin willfully. See, this is not a mistake. This is something that we're not unconsciously doing. This is on purpose. This is something that we're meaning to do. We're wanting to do. It says, for if we sin willfully, after that, we have received the knowledge of the truth. There remaineth no more sacrifice for sins. It says, if we sin willfully, if we sin, that's single, singular. If we sin willfully, after that, we have received the knowledge of the truth. What that thing is, once we receive the knowledge of the truth, that means we've been born again. We've accepted Jesus as our Lord and Savior. So after we've been born again, if we sin willfully, there remaineth no more sacrifice for sin. See, when one rejects Christ as the only sacrifice for sin, there remains no other. He will have to suffer the punishment of that rejection. Those who willfully disobey. Those who willfully put other gods before Almighty God. Those who willfully create and make graven images. Those who willfully bow down to another God. What's another God? Anything that is put before our Creator. Listen to that. God created us. But then you have people who create their own God and bow down and worship. Picture that. But God is a jealous God. Verse 27 reads, but a certain fearful look and fiery indignation which shall devour the adversaries. See, a lot of stuff that happens today the same reason why they happened back then, as we can say, when God gave them the Ten Commandments. A lot of things that are happening today is because people not loving God and people not obeying God. That's it. Either love God or hate him. There's no liking. You either love him or you hate him. You either obey him or disobey him. Those are the only choices. Love or hate. Obey or disobey. Says, but a certain fearful looking for of judgment and fiery indignation which shall devour the adversaries. Those who oppose, goes against, fights the gospel, the truth, the word of God. He that despised Moses' law died without mercy under two or three witnesses. That's what I just said. The things that are going on today are the same things that were going on then. They despised Moses' law. He that rejected and denied the divine authority of the law died without mercy. There's one place in the Bible where God was talking to Moses, giving him the Ten Commandments. But then he told Moses, you need to go back down there. Some stuff down there that needs to be handled. So when Moses went down to the people, he saw how they had took the gold from the Egyptians, because when God delivered them, hallelujah, I'm about to shout, when God delivered them, he didn't just deliver them and let them go free. But the people of Egypt, they blessed them. Hallelujah. They gave them, as the word says, booties. But what that is gave them treasures. They gave them gold, jewels, possessions. That's what they left with. Hallelujah. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. So when they got to the place where they were selling, they got anxious. They got upset. What they were was ungrateful. But listen to this mindset. They were so upset that they took the gold that they have been blessed with and melted it down and created a golden calf. So they created this graven image and they started celebrating and dancing and worshiping and praising it. So this is what Moses went to handle. And on that day, the jealousy of God, the fierceness of his anger, of his judgment, it said the earth opened up and 3,000 people died. That's just how jealous God is. The earth opened up and 3,000 people died in an instant. God says he is a jealous God. Said he that despised Moses' law died without mercy under two or three witnesses. So judgment is used to show others just how jealous God is. He's loving. He's righteous. He's holy. He's also jealous. Says, of how much sower punishment suppose ye shall he be thought worthy who have trodden underfoot the Son of God and have counted the blood of the covenant wherewith he was sanctified an unholy thing, and have done despite unto the Spirit of grace. So the judgment of that day, 3,000 people die because of their disobedience, because of their hate for God, because of their worshiping a graven image that they created. It says, how much sore punishment for those who have trodden underfoot the Son of God. Everything that Jesus did for us. If we really understand what Jesus actually endured, the movie, The Passion of the Christ, a lot of people got offended because they said that it was too much. But Gibson, what he wanted to do was give us an understanding of what Jesus went through. And that's Hollywood. That's not the actual torture, beating, disgrace, hateful, anger that Jesus endured. He was beat to the point of death where they had to tell him to stop. That's enough. He was beat to the point where he wasn't even recognizable. You've seen boxing matches where someone is beat. They have knots. Their face is disfigured. Blood. But it doesn't compare to how Jesus was beat. So they couldn't even look at him. And for someone to trodden under the foot the Son of God, and has counted the blood of the covenant wherewith he was sanctified and unholy. Verse 30 says, for we know him that hath said, vengeance belongeth unto me. I will recompense, saith the Lord. And again, the Lord shall judge his people. This is who he's talking about. This is who he's talking to. Says the Lord shall judge his people. Judgment begins in the house of God first. God is a God of order. Now verse 31 says, it is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. The word enmity, Let's look at that word. Enmity is positive, active, and typically mutual hatred or ill will. Mean, deep-seated dislike. That hatred could be open or concealed. That hatred causes hostility. It causes animosity. People that hate God, it shows. It shows by how they talk, how they live, a lot of how they dress. That's the world. So let's look at James 4:4. Go look at it in the New Living Translation. And it reads, "You adulterers, don't you realize that friendship with the world makes you an enemy of God? I say it again, if you want to be a friend of the world, you make yourself an enemy of God." God says, make no friends of the world. God is enough. He's more than enough. Everything we need, God has already supplied. As we mentioned last week, we have to go and find it. It's in his word. Not going to the world.
Wow. I just heard this. And not. To the word of God. Add not to the word of God. So you got the word of God. And you got the world. When you look at the word world, it's spelled W-O-R-L-D. So those two letters, R and L, instead of R and D, that word, that letter L changes everything. It changes everything. It changes the word to the world. That L has been added. So he's saying, add not to his word. Don't change it. The word is perfect. The word is good all by itself. There's no need to change it. There's no need to add to it. There's no need to take the word to make it look like the world. World needs
the word. The word does not need the world. I'm going to stop there. The enemy of God, to be enmity with God, of God. To hate God. To disobey him. It says, it makes you the enemy of God. Remember, we're in this relationship. And God is a fiercely jealous lover. His judgment is not only deadly, but it's destructive. Not only deadly, but destructive. Meaning that it destroys your future with them. I'm going to end with this. St. Matthew, 10th chapter. St. Matthew, the 10th chapter. We're going to start at verse 28. And it reads, and fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. That's what I meant when I said it just doesn't end with death, but it destroys your relationship. If you die in sin, if you die in sin, you end up in hell. Say it again. If you die in sin, you end up in hell. And fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. The enemy of God. Father, thank you. Thank you, Father, for reminding us who you are. Almighty God. All loving God. All caring God. All merciful God. All gracious God. You're also jealous. Help us, Father, to be reminded of what you've done for us. We say yes, Lord. Thank you, Father. And help us, Father, to obey you
and not add to your word. We love you. We thank you. We praise you. We honor you. We bless you. And we will love and obey you until life everlasting. In the mighty name of Jesus, amen. Amen. The enemy of God. We don't need the world. We came out of the world. We came out of the world because we didn't want to be in the world. We don't need the world. The world needs us. Represent God. Show the world how much you love God. Obey his word. Because it's a fearful thing to fall into the hands of a living and a jealous God. Love you. Talk to you next week. Anointed and Appointed Word Ministries with Brother Norman Woodard.